জয় শ্রী রাধা। আমরা গোপ কুমারের অতি দিব্য চরিত্র শ্রবণ করছি। বিরাম দেওয়ার পরবর্তী অংশ আমরা
We are continuing with hearing endlessly divine oration about Gop Kumar. And today we are continuing further. Gop Kumar didn't like staying in Ayodhya. Lord Ramachandra, who is the Lord in the heart of everyone and knowing everyone's heart, he knew Gop Kumar's heart. And thus he has called Jambavan. And he has told him, Oh, my dear Jambavan, take Gop Kumar to Dwarakpuri. Take him to Dwaraka. There he will gain supreme bliss. And Jambavan did it. As Gop Kumar has reached Dwarakapuri, he has seen all the Yadava boys playing together. Some of the sons of Mathura Brahmanas, they were playing along with them, with Yadava boys. Seeing this picture, having this vision, Gop Kumar was in complete bliss. Those boys of Dwaraka, of Yadav family, they were so beautiful, so divine. And Gop Kumar was attracted to the vision of all these boys playing together, as well as the Lord, also these boys, his dear close associates. They are also antaryami, they are also knowing the heart of others. Seeing Gop Kumar, all these Yadav boys that were playing together, they could understand that Gop Kumar has come from Vrajadham, from Govardhan, that he is a cowherd boy. And they knew that Vrajavasis are very dear to their Lord, Shri Krishna. With blissful minds, they started embracing Gop Kumar, all of them. In this way, gaining their affection, Gop Kumar was feeling even greater bliss. All these boys of Dwaraka, they've taken Gop Kumar to the inner portions of Dwarakpuri. Gaining the association of the boys of Dwaraka, experiencing their affection, their embraces, he was feeling great, great, endless bliss. Dwaraka boys have taken Gop Kumar to the inner portions of Dwarakapuri, where Sudharma assembly, in which Shri Krishna Dwarakadish was seated on his simhasan. Dwarakapuri was filled with opulence. It was so beautiful, it is not possible to describe how beautiful it was, How beautiful was the seat on which Lord Shri Krishna Dwarakadish was seated. Nobody is able to describe the beauty of Dwarakapuri. Those who are experiencing this through bhajan, they are able to have the picture of that beauty within their minds. Even Saraswati Devi personified, she who is the goddess of learning, even if she would like to describe completely the glories of Vaikuntha, she wouldn't be able to do so. Even the liberated sages who are able to do anything, also, if they would like to describe the glories of Vaikuntha completely, even they wouldn't be able to do so. All the sweetness, all the opulence, all this beauty is not possible to describe completely. Gop Kumar has seen the Lord, Lord Shri Krishna Dwarakadish, sitting on his simhasan, and two great generals, his servants, fanning him on both sides. They were fanning him with chamaras. On the right side of Lord Dwarakadish, his father Vasudev, his brother Baladev, and different ministers like Akrura and others, they were sitting on Dwarakadish's right side. On the left side of Dwarakadish, Maharaj Ugrasen, his grandfather, and the great courageous warrior Satyaki, they were seated. Satyaki is very famous and powerful warrior. Amongst Yadus, he is the most famous. And from Satyaki's left side, there were other ministers, Kritavarma and others. And in front of the Lord, there was Devarishi Narad. For the pleasure of the Lord, he was singing, playing different instruments, dancing, doing kirtan and glorification of the Lord. Sometimes he would start crying. In other moment, when he stopped crying, then he would start performing different joyful and amusing characters, and all these varieties of presentations he did for the pleasure of the Lord. The Lord and everyone surrounding the Lord, they were expressing their pleasure, satisfaction, and they were saying, "So wonderful, so wonderful," as the response to Narad Muni's art. In this way, Narad Muni, Devarishi Narad, he was continuing with his glorification of the Lord. So in this way, the Lord, surrounded with his associates, all that picture was very attractive. Gop Kumar was feeling very fortunate and blissful that he has gained Lord Dwarakadish and all his associates' darshan. Anande being overwhelmed with bliss and with prem, pure love for the Lord, he fainted. Gop Kumar has lost consciousness and he has fallen on the ground. Uddhavji Maharaj has instantly got up from his seat to see who has fallen and fainting. Then he has understood that's Vrajavasi Gop Kumar. Immediately he tried to pacify Gop Kumar, and little by little Gop Kumar gained his consciousness back. He took Gop Kumar, helped him to get up, to bring him closer to the Lord. At that moment, Lord Dwarakadish has stood up from his seat, from his simhasan, understanding that his dear friend Gop Kumar had come. And Lord Dwarakadish, he was ready to run over his dear devotee. And he was loudly calling for Gop Kumar, "My dear Gop Kumar, please come, come closer." Uddhavji Maharaj, not desiring that the Lord himself is in difficulty coming towards his devotee, he immediately took, with the quick steps, Gop Kumar closer to the Lord. Lord Dwarakadish, he has stood up from his simhasan, and Uddhavji Maharaj told, "Our dear Lord, you please sit back at your seat." And he has brought Gop Kumar very close to Lord Dwarakadish, and he has put his head at Lord Dwarakadish's lotus feet. Lord is very merciful, the most merciful. His dear friend, his dear Bhakta has come to him. And while sitting on his seat, on his simhasan, Lord Dwarakadish had mercifully put his lotus hand on Gop Kumar's head, and he was caressing him. As mother is caressing her child, in this way, the Lord has affectionately, mercifully caressing his dear devotee Gop Kumar. In bliss, Gop Kumar was offering glorifications to Lord Dwarakadish. When Lord Dwarakadish has seen that Gop Kumar was carrying flute in his hand, Lord Dwarakadish was completely overwhelmed. His eyes are filled with tears. There in Sudharma assembly, there were so many ministers, different sages, saints, etc. So Lord Dwarakadish didn't feel like crying in front of them, but he couldn't hold himself. He was profusely crying. The tears, profuse tears, were coming, running from his lotus eyes. Lord Dwarakadish was remembering, "I have left my flute in Vraja." When Lord Shri Krishna was leaving Vraja to go to Mathura and later on to Dwaraka, when he was leaving Vraja, he has kept his flute with Srimati Radharani. At that time, Shri Radharani and all the Sakis, they were offering glorification to the Lord. They were already in feelings of separation from the Lord who was to leave Raja very soon. And that time, Sri Krishna, Sri Govinda, has kept his flute with Sri Radharani. He gave his flute to Sri Radharani. Gopal Champu is describing this. When Lord Dwarakadish has seen his dear devotee, cowherd boy Gop Kumar in his cowherd dress holding flute, Lord Dwarakadish was so overwhelmed and he was crying profusely. In this way, all the feelings and remembrance of his dear Vrajavasis, Sakis, and most of all Sri Radharani were present in Lord's heart. Lord Dwarakadish was remembering them, crying profusely in separation from them. Understanding Lord's feelings, who, if he would continue crying like that, could easily faint, Uddhavji Maharaj had instantly run towards Dwarakadish, Lord Dwarakadish, calling him for lunch in order to divert his attention. Lord Sri Krishna, he had such a deep feelings of affection for his dearest devotees, Vrajavasis. For all his devotees, original poet Sri Brahma, he has asked question to the Lord. He has asked demoness Putana, Rakshasini Putana, she has come as your enemy and you have given her a post of your mother in the spiritual abode. So Brahmaji was further asking the question, what then shall you give to your dearest devotees, to your Vrajavasis who are day and night serving you, remembering you, living for your pleasure? They have surrendered everything to you. What shall you give to them then? Lord was completely overwhelmed. And he told to Brahmaji, hey Brahma, I don't have a answer to your question. I am remaining eternally indebted to my dearest devotees, to Vrajavasis. There is nothing I can give to them. I am remaining eternally indebted to them. Na parayeham. That was the Lord's answer. Lord's devotees are loving the Lord, and Lord is loving his dearest devotees. No poets, no devatas, no one in whole creation are able to describe it completely. So understanding the deep feelings of the Lord, Uddhavji Maharaj, in order to divert Lord's attention, he has called Lord Dwarakadish for lunch. Lord Dwarakadish couldn't speak. His voice was choked. Even if he wanted, he couldn't tell a word. He couldn't pronounce a word. He was profusely crying, remembering his dearest devotees in Vraja. Gop Kumar was thinking, I came to my Lord. I'm here in front of Lord Dwarakadish, but he's not able to speak to me. His voice is choked. Then Lord Dwarakadish has stood up from his Simhasan. He wanted to say something to Gop Kumar, but he couldn't speak. He has embraced Gop Kumar, and in this way they were walking together. They were going to even further inner portions of Dwarakpuri. Vasudev, Mother Devaki, Mother Rohini, and different queens of Sri Dwarakadish, they understood the deep mood of Lord Dwarakadish, and they have surrounded him from all four sides, and they were all walking together with him. Lord Dwarakadish, then at the noontime, he has bathed himself, but he didn't feel like eating. His mind was expressing deep sadness and feelings of separation from his dearest devotees in Vraj. He didn't feel like eating, and he didn't eat. Lord Dwarakadish was mercifully, with his own hand, feeding Gop Kumar, who was sitting by his side. So merciful the Lord is. Everyone in this world desires to serve the Lord, but now we see that the Supreme Lord Himself is serving, feeding His dear devotee with His own hand, with His own lotus hand. That is known from the beginning of all times. Those who love the Lord, who serve Him, Lord loves them especially. Lord Dwarakadish didn't feel like eating himself. When Mother Devaki, Mother Rohini, they have told him, our dear child, why don't you eat yourself? Please, you should eat something. After feeding Gop Kumar, Lord Dwarakadish took some foodstuffs. He took himself as well for the pleasure of Mother Devaki and Mother Rohini, although he didn't feel like eating at all. At that time, Gop Kumar has seen an amazing vision. Lord Dwarakadish was not dressed in a kingly dress anymore. He was dressed in his cowherd dress. Mother Devaki and Mother Rohini, they were dressed in Gopi's dresses. Mother Rohini, she has come from Vraja, and she was dressed in that way. But at that time also Mother Devaki was instantly dressed as a Vraja Gopi. Lord's queen Rukmini, she became Radharani. She took form of Radharani. And all the other queens of Lord Dwarakadish, they took form of Radharani's Sakis. Remembering his dearest Vrajavasis, Lord Dwarakadish spent months in his inner rooms crying and remembering his dearest devotees of Vraja. The whole kingdom was crying along with him. Lord's whole dress was filled with tears. It was all wet from profuse tears Lord was constantly releasing, from profuse tears that were coming from his lotus eyes. So we have heard now the description how Lord's mood became so sad when he was feeling deep feelings of separation from his dearest devotees. He was remembering his dearest Vrajavasis and he kept profusely crying. That was his condition there in Dwaraka. He was also staying at the home of his dear devotee Uddhavji Maharaj. So the description of Dwarakpuri was that the opulence of Dwarakpuri was 1,000 times or 1,000,000 times more than Ayodhyapuri. These numbers as 1,000,000 times more, this is just for us to understand in some way how great it was. But otherwise, it was much, much more. So although Dwarakpuri was so opulent, Gop Kumar was living a very simple life of renouncement even there. By Lord Dwarakadish's mercy, his close devotee and associate, Uddhavji Maharaj, he has gained opportunity to meet the Lord's dearest devotees of Raja. And by Lord's mercy, he could learn about the greatness of their love for Lord Shri Krishna. Uddhavji Maharaj had explained that witnessing the greatest of all love, the most pure love of Vrajavasis for Lord Shri Krishna, Uddhavji Maharaj's only desire was to serve the dust of the lotus feet of Lord's dearest devotees of Vraj. Vraja Gopis, and most of all, Shrimati Radharani. Uddhavji Maharaj was glorifying with this verse the greatest of all love for Shri Krishna that gopis and Shri Radharani possess. And he was glorifying the dust of their lotus feet, desiring to serve it. Even residing in such great abode as Dwarakapuri, still Gop Kumar couldn't be completely happy. He was experiencing great, great bliss, but still it was not complete bliss. There was so much opulence in Dwarakapuri, but still Gop Kumar's heart was not completely satisfied. Everyone desires bliss in this world. No one desires sadness. Everyone wants to be happy, to experience happiness and bliss. This is the goal of everyone. Every living entity desires bliss, happiness. Scriptures are saying, everyone desires happiness. No one desires to be unhappy or sad, in distress. Rig Veda is describing those who are engaged in the blissful, loving devotional service to the Lord, in whose hearts this loving, blissful, devotional service has appeared, hearts of those devotees are experiencing bliss that doesn't exist anywhere else in whole creation. Taittiriya Upanishad, Rig Vedas are describing this, that everyone desires happiness, no one desires sadness or distress. Srila Sanatana Goswami Pad, quoting Rig Veda, Taittiriya Upanishad, the quote describes that the only real bliss is in the service of the Lord. Still, most of the living entities, they're trying to find that supreme bliss in material existence. Although they are trying constantly, but they are not able to find that complete bliss in material existence. The question can be arisen, does it mean that there is no happiness in this world? The answer is no, there is happiness. But this is such insignificant happiness in comparison with great distress that is accompanying it. Example is given in Srimad Bhagavatam. What is the material existence like? The example is given of a dog. Dog is going from one door to the other, going door to door. The dog is trying to find something to eat. He's waiting for someone to give him something to eat. Although many of the family men that open the doors, even some of them give him something to eat. There are so many of those who are taking a stick and beating the dog, chasing him away. Is everyone giving something to the dog to eat? No. Just some are giving something to eat They are some merciful persons and they are giving something to dog to eat. Dog has come to their doors, to their doorstep, and they have given him something to eat. But still, then they are chasing the dog away. There are others who simply take a stick and chase the dog away, far away, not giving him anything to eat. So there is no happiness for that dog. Sometimes only he's getting something to eat, but mostly he's getting beaten and chased away. So Bhagavatam is explaining that exactly like that, that is the position of the living entity in material existence. What a wonderful example Srimad Bhagavatam is giving. For a little happiness, the living entity is experiencing so much distress in this material existence. Someone is desiring to get a wonderful, beautiful son, child, that is going to grow up, study, become learned, etc. Everyone has so many desires to be fulfilled in this material world. They're trying to fulfill all of those desires for material enjoyment. But in actuality, there is no happiness in this world. How? There are further examples given. For example, a living entity is getting a little bit of pleasure. And at that moment, the living entity is overwhelmed with bliss. But then instantly, lots of distress is coming and living entity is experiencing sadness and distress. Further explanation is that living entity gains fulfillment of some desires. For example, someone is getting a wonderful child. But after some time, after experiencing so much bliss in the association of a child, of a son, and for some reason, a distress comes in their life. Maybe they wouldn't agree nicely together. Sometimes even a child is giving up their life before time. They are dying for some reason before their parents. And that brings so much distress and sadness to those parents. Who can be more sad than such a parent, such a father, who is losing their dear child? Only such a parent can understand that, such a deep feelings of distress. So there is no ultimate happiness in this world. A living entity lives in a material world, and in some way life is going on. Some activities of material existence are going on. But at the same time, living entity should surrender their lives to the Supreme Lord and His service, to perform arati, worship the Lord, serve the Lord. By serving the Lord, prarabdha karma is getting destroyed. Scriptures are describing that. Prarabdha karma, it means that earlier some offense was done, some sin and some offense that will fructify and bring the bad reaction. That means prarabdha karma, that the result for previous sinful and offensive activities is coming. In the Gaudiya Vaishnava, Jivan, it means the book that describes the lives of different Gaudiya Vaishnava saints, it is described. There was very powerful Bhajanandi, a great soul, Mahatma, who was performing his bhajan. He was chanting his japa, performing his bhajan at Govinda Kund. All the day and night he was immersed in service of the Lord, in his bhajan, in his japa. He was chanting up to the late night, 2 o'clock at night. During the day, so many people are coming sometimes to visit sadhus. So many of serious sadhus, as they're not able to perform their bhajan during the day due to different persons visiting them. Then, during the peaceful night hours, they're dedicating themselves to their bhajan, to chanting japa. So in this way, this sadhu, this saint, he was chanting up to late at night, 2 o'clock at night. He was staying in Vraja for a long, long time. Still, there was some prarabdha karma, some fructified karma reaction for his previous activities, that he was supposed to be possessed by a ghostly entity. So this ghostly entity was visiting him. He was trying to find the proper moment to attack the sadhu, to enter into him, to possess him. Sadhu has seen this entity and he has asked, "Who are you?" And this ghostly entity, he explained, "Oh sadhu, I want to enter into you, to completely possess you. As a result of your bad activities in some earlier life, now I am coming to possess you for whole 12 years. And the sadhu peacefully told, he has answered to this ghostly entity, "All right, there is no problem. If that's the result of my previous activities, I'm ready to suffer for it." But then this ghostly entity has explained, "I've come and I'm trying to possess you, but due to your powerful bhajan, I'm not able to enter into you. You're chanting your japa all the time, and I'm not able to enter into you. You're protected while you're chanting your japa." Those sadhus, those bhaktas, when they are chanting japa constantly, then even at night when they are sleeping, the holy name is resounding within them. So even they are sleeping constantly, Harinam, the holy name, Krishna, Krishna, is resounding within them. So this ghostly entity, he's saying, "Oh, Baba," he addressed the sadhu. He said, "I'm not able to enter into you because whole day and late into night, you're chanting japa, and even when you're sleeping, holy name is resounding within you. So I cannot enter into you." So as this ghostly entity was again and again explaining that he needs to fulfill his service, means to enter into him. The sadhu was on the other side saying that he can't stop chanting, that that's his service. This ghostly living entity was trying to find a way to fulfill his own service, which was to stay in the sadhu's body for 12 years. Seeing that it won't be possible, he has told to sadhu that instead of 12 years, he will try to do it for 1 year. He was trying to make a deal with the sadhu because he was not able to enter into him at all. He was trying to make sadhu agree that for some certain lesser time he would stop chanting so that he would be able to enter into him. Again, sadhu told, "It's not possible for me to stop my bhajan, to stop my sadhana for a whole year. That's impossible." And he has again told to this ghostly entity, "I'm not able to stop my bhajan, my sadhana, and you simply do what you have to do." So we can see here, instead of 12 years, this ghostly entity was thinking that then for 12 months he would enter into sadhu, but even that was not possible. Then he had proposed to sadhu that instead of 12 years, instead of 12 months, for only 1 month he would enter into him. Sadhu again couldn't agree for a whole month. Then sadhu has understood this ghostly entity was trying from 12 years to 12 months to 1 month, then to 12 days. But sadhu that has told him that not 12 years, not 12 months, not 1 month, not 12 days. Sadhu has agreed for only 12 hours. He has told, "All right, I'm giving up any other deals. I'm agreeing for 12 hours. I will stop my bhajan for 12 hours. And you do what you need to do. You enter into me that my prarabdha karma will be in this way finished and that you can complete your service for which you came." So that was their deal, and this ghostly entity has entered into sadhu that have agreed that for 12 hours only he won't perform his sadhana, his bhajan, his japa. Instantly, as this ghostly entity has entered into sadhu, the results of his prarabdha, the disease has overwhelmed him. Immediately, the black spots appeared on his body, and all the other sadhus were amazed earlier very effulgent, beautiful looking sadhu now gained a dark color. His whole body was sick. All his body was filled with black spots, filled with disease. So all the sadhus, they knew that sadhu who was for a long time performing his bhajan. So they were amazed. They couldn't understand what has happened. All the sadhu was humbly tolerating whatever has happened, and he didn't desire to speak about it because more senior sadhus have asked him, and he had humbly explained. He told that as a result for his previous activities, his prarabdha karma reactions for his previous bad activities was haunting him, and this is the result of it, that sickness has entered his body. This ghostly entity, personified disease, has entered into his body. So now he is experiencing results for his bad activities. In this way, his prarabdha karma is getting nullified. There are many similar examples. Then Jagannath Baba, a famous saint, was residing in Jagannath Puri. He also had experienced a disease. And as a sadhu is absorbed in his bhajan, this Jagannath Baba, he was himself living alone, performing his bhajan. There was no disciple or servant to serve him. So due to this disease, he needed constantly some water to clean his body. But there was not anyone close to him who would serve him, be by his side constantly to help him. But Lord Jagannath himself, he started serving his dear devotee, offering the water that was required for this sadhu. Jagannath Baba, he couldn't accept that the Lord is serving him in this way. And he was pleading the Lord, asking and begging the Lord not to serve him in that way. He was telling to the Lord, "Why are you doing that? Please stop. If you don't stop, I'm going to go to hell because I'm accepting your personal service." But Lord Jagannath has answered to his dear devotee, Jagannath Baba, "You're my dear devotee. You have surrendered everything to me. Sometimes you are eating, sometimes you are not eating. You are surrendering everything to me. You are completely dedicated to my service." And the Lord has told him, "Look, no one is able to stop your prarabdha karma, but I'm able to do so." But the Lord then has told further on, "Why I'm not doing it? I'm the one that can stop it, but I'm not doing it because I am also respecting the scriptures that I have given. So these rules of prarabdha karma, suffering the reactions for the bad deeds earlier done, the Lord has explained that He Himself is respecting those rules given by Him. So instead of just nullifying immediately, the Lord has accepting to personally serve His dear devotee and help him at that difficult time. So this is material existence. Someone is having a child and they're experiencing some happiness, and in some moments the greatest distress. In the same way as the scriptures are describing, giving example of a dog that is getting some foodstuffs at the doorsteps, but mostly gaining just beaten and chased away, ending up in distress. So Rig Veda, Taittiriya Upanishad is explaining that the greatest bliss that everyone is looking for doesn't exist in this material existence. But where can be greatest bliss found? In the service of Lord Govinda, when we dedicate our lives to the service of the Lord, worshipping Him, serving Him, performing bhajan for the pleasure of the Lord. So with these words, we are concluding today's katha. We are putting today's katha to rest. And by Sri Radharani's mercy, we are going to continue with our katha tomorrow.
Radhesha Nitai Gaur Sitanat Premanande Hari Hari Va Sri Sri Giriraj Maharaj Ki Jai Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran Ki Jai Sri Vedavyas Bhagavan Ki Jai Sukadev Goswami Pad Ki Jai Sri Parikshit Maharaj Ki Jai Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita Ki Jai Srila Sanatan Goswami Prabhupad Ki Jai Sri Gop Kumar Ki Jai Mata Uttara Devi Ki Jai Damodar Vrata Ki Jai Samast Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Ajker Ananda Ki Jai Apan Apan Sri Guru Maharaj Ki Jai 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 Sri Radhesha Nitai Gaur Hari Va